RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Brad Flutie is with us now. Brad, good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Much better.
Much better. How much better? I mean, how bad were you feeling?
At points, pretty bad. There were some points where I was concerned that I might not make it, but fortunately.
Really?
Yeah. Especially the part where I went over 100 hours without water and they turned the ambulance
100
away.
Hours without water?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I said right from the start that I required sustenance from trusted sources, my family. I had it there in bottles of water and juices with electrolytes, but they didn't want to provide it to me through those means. So it just carried on like that until my mum called the ambulance. But fortunately for me, I knew I was going to be okay the moment I started believing and knowing that I would be. My family didn't know for days.
Okay. Well, you can get to the detail with Rodney tomorrow on all of that, but that's a bit of a shocker. So, wait on, they wouldn't let you have the liquids because of the containers they were in or the way they're kind of presented? Is that what you say?
They just claim that the policies and procedures prevented them from providing it to me in that method. The problem with that claim is that it was quickly revoked the moment it became apparent that those policies and procedures didn't exist and the hospital told them that they were...
Oh, so they make it up, do they, as they go along?
It appeared that way, yeah.
Wow, okay. So this is all over not wearing a mask, is it?
That's what the media says, so sure, let's go with that.
Okay, well, is it what you think?
Oh, I think a lot of things. You know what? I'll boil it down to this. People making up policies and procedures that don't exist.
Okay, out of thin air kind of stuff.
Yeah, I guess I was detained for that long because I went out into the community and I challenged people who are making up policies and procedures that didn't exist.
So you get the full force of lawfare directed at you following that. That's what happened. Is that what you say?
Lawfare, yeah. It reminds me of a maxim of law. Violence sometimes wears the mask of law. And yeah. I went out there and I probably challenged it in not the best way. I can come across as a very intense, passionate individual. And maybe I need to work on that. But at the end of the day, I don't think many people disagree with me today.
So the intensity of you kind of singled you out for particular treatment or led to a kind of a demonizing of you because of some quirk in your character?
That's what my friends would say to me. They say, you know, you just need to do it a little better and maybe you won't take it the hard way. But I've always been someone that enjoys doing things the hard way. You learn the most along that journey and you have the most interesting journeys.
Were you some kind of political prisoner then?
I would presume so, but it's dangerous to presume. I like to look at it today like this. That ordeal or journey that I went through is going to help inspire and empower people to do difficult things. And now more than ever, we need as many people to do difficult things.
That's interesting you say that. So it's fight, fight, fight.
Probably more in an honourable way. In the past, you've had people that have done hunger strikes like the people in the IRA who did the hunger strike in a resentful and arrogant fashion, spread feces all over their walls and stuff like that. Yeah, fight, but think very carefully about how you fight because a lot of people are going to be watching you. And if you are fighting in a way and where you're getting a lot of people's attention, you have to be very careful about how you influence people because everybody is very influenced and has the capability to be very influential. So my message to everybody out there is if you're going to fight, think very carefully about how you do it because how you do it will define the future that our children walk into.
So you must have had this incredible belief in yourself all the way through that, to put yourself through that. Did it waver at any point?
Oh, yeah, little parts, but it was almost seconds to minutes and where I was like, no. I never wavered in the hunger strike. I was never interested in eating anything outside of the parameters that I set. So I wanted sustenance from trusted sources. Those trusted sources I deemed to be my family. I will be on a hunger strike against anything else that's brought to me. I never wavered in that. The actions that got me to waver was when they started restricting my contact to family, and when they started realizing that that arced up my emotions, they seemed to do that more. And that was something I had to get a handle over when I was in there, because that was a weakness that they could prod.
Well, that sounds like vindictive behavior in a way.
Yeah.
To me.
No, I would have a firm belief that some of them engaged in a vindictive behavior, but I'd also offer this as a conciliation to people who think corrections is all like that. I would say, on my opinion, 80 to 90% of the guards were wonderful, of a mentor mindset. But for the medical team, it was 80 to 90% not that great.
Interesting you say the medical team. The medical team.
Yeah. There were some shining lights in the medical team that were really, really helpful, but they were few and far between compared to the guard staff.
So the attitude of the medical people to you was exactly what then?
Incompetent and negligent, in two words.
They were?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, you can tell Rodney more about that, but it's interesting because it always seems to be the medical people that we're having problems with these days.
Well, we know why, don't we?
Okay, we kind of do. Okay, so a couple more questions before we're done and the long version tomorrow with Rodney. What's it like not eating for that long? I've done 3.5, 4 days at the most. Okay, you can get through that all right. But you did, well,
73 days.
You're 73 days. So what happens to a person who hasn't eaten for that long?
A lot of things. The first 7 days are the hardest. After that, especially if you have a strong reason why you're doing it, it's like anything else that you do. You know, if you've got a strong amount of meaning imbued in it, then you can do it as if it's part of who you are. I had a strong will towards doing it in there to the point where I was never going to stop until my requirements were fulfilled.
So you would have gone all the way, Brad, and you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, which made my family rather upset. They tried many times to get me to stop. And I actually got quite frustrated with them and said, hey, you know, you're trying to get me to compromise my merits and my principles, and I'm not going to do that. You guys just need to find a way to support me in that and break this organization's opposition to it down. And, yeah, it's interesting. Out here, I've tried to do fast. I can't even do it for a day. Imbue a huge amount of meaning and principle behind it, and I could go for even longer than what I did. They tried to take everything from me, and I wasn't going to let them have the final say on that. I decided that, all right, if I have to be in privation, then the largest part of that privation is going to be my own choosing.
And what did you get from, well, did you have any contact with fellow inmates?
Yeah. And what, they were great.
They were?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them are really good. You know, they've made some mistakes, but some of them, they've got so much profound things to say. You know, I said to one of them, I said, if you could be released tomorrow, would you take it? And a lot of the ones that said very profound things to me said, oh, I'm not really ready to leave yet. I think I've got a lot more personal to do.
That's reflective, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't actually come across any prisoner that was aggressive or rude or awful. You know, there's some that have some mental health issues that bang on the walls and scream for 72 hours, probably still coming off me, but
yeah.
You know, that's addiction. But when you got right down to the heart of it, a lot of them were really pensive about how they wanted to change their lives.
It's been fascinating catching up with you just now, Brad, but it'll be even more interesting when you get together with Rodney and have a bit more time to go through everything. For now, though, it's a really, well, it's an amazing story. To have the kahunas to stick up for principles like you have, kind of putting your life on the line, actually. Is that over the top?
No. I'm reminded by a quote, because I only had one book for such a long time. It was a Bible that the chaplain brought me. And the quote goes, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. And that's a parable and a metaphor. And if you take the time to tease that apart or go through what I did, you comprehend the full meaning of what that is.
Yeah.
You can compromise all sorts of stuff for the short term in the body. But if you compromise what's eternal within you, you'll never come back from that.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Brad, thanks for coming on this morning. Look forward to the longer chat with Rodney tomorrow. All the best to you. All right.
All the best to you too.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.